Hey, good morning, Houston, man. I'm fired up and excited. It's a great day to have a great day, and I'm so glad we all got a chance to do this. This has been long. This has been a plan for a while, man, getting everyone together. And welcome back to Unleash Your Potential podcast. My name is John Percato. I'm your host here with my co-host and best friend, Robert Avedia. Robert, good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, Robert, why don't you do us a favor and introduce your guests?
Oh, man, my guests. They are guests of this podcast, but they are family.
That's right.
I have my cousin here, Seth Saldivar, who owns his own company. And then I have my brother, Alejandro Garcia, here, who you don't know his name yet, but you're going to know his name.
That's right.
He's going to be known worldwide.
Yeah.
He's going to record with one of the largest Christian singers ever.
Wow.
And, man, I'm getting goosebumps just talking about it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then you have my brother here, Rolando Garcia, 8 years in the making.
Mm.
8 years in the making.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that I'm excited about because it's something that we're both looking out for each other to be able to help each other. We got
Amen.
Each other's backs.
Yes. Yes.
And then he has his son here.
Wow.
The pastor, Sebastian
yeah.
Garcia.
Yeah.
Who, man, the more I hear him speak, the more I'm intrigued to find out more.
Yeah.
He inspires me to go, okay, I want to find out more about you. I want to find out more about what do you have? What is it that you have inside of you? Because you want to talk about someone that knows the walk with Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
That's his young man.
That's awesome. Well, listen, everyone's going to be extremely excited for what we're going to go through today. Before we do that, I got to step back for a second. I don't know if you guys are movie people, okay? But I am. And I was when I was talking to Robert, and when he said we were going to do this, it automatically made me go back to the movie Spies Like Us with Dan Aykroyd, Chevy Chase. If you don't know the movie,
yeah.
More or less, I'm 30 years old, but I know movies from that time, the old
that
SNL crew. Yeah, but you know, there's this one scene where Dan Aykroyd and Chevy Chase are in Afghanistan, and they're getting ready to operate on this guy, and they start introducing themselves. They go, doctor, doctor, doctor. And when everyone walked in today, I'm like, pastor, 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 pastor. And I'm like, this is going to be awesome. Like, it's going to be great. We don't have to call anyone by name. We just say pastor. And then Robert and I can know enough that we can, we could pull it off for one day, right? But no. It's going to be a great discussion, Obviously, the podcast, the purpose of us always getting together is to help people level up and become the greatest version of themselves. And I can't think of a better way to do it than talking about walking in faith, And so before we jump into our topic of discussion, before I kind of let you guys do your thing, I think everyone would love to get to know you guys just a little bit, right? So I'm going to start with Seth, my brother over here. Seth, so what is it right now, Seth, that you do work-wise, man? What do you do?
So work-wise, I own a mortgage brokerage,
mm-hmm.
And we're based out of Houston.
Yeah.
And we focus on two things. Number one, for our clients, we focus on giving them the very best that's available.
Yeah.
So we actually shop lenders to give them the very best rates and fees.
Mm-hmm.
And our philosophy or our culture is to treat everybody like family.
Yeah,
like
cool.
Treat them like my brother or treat them like my mom.
It's amazing.
Because that's how I would want to be treated.
Yeah.
If I was going into a place that I didn't know, I didn't know what the industry was or I didn't know what the standards were, I'd want to be treated like family.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is for our teammates, we also treat them like family.
Yeah.
So instead of being money focused, we're focused on helping one another, helping one another grow, develop, grow their business, grow their reach.
Yeah.
And so I've been around for a while.
Yeah.
I've done this for a long time.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's a very unique place.
Yeah.
And we're blessed to
man,
have
it. That's amazing, man. And also, you're a pastor as well.
Yes.
How long have you done that for?
I started in ministry when I was a teenager,
mm-hmm.
and just in different capacities.
Wow.
And so right now, I'm a marketplace pastor at One Life Church in Houston. And what that means is I work full time and I pastor full time. So there's not a lot of spare time for me.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's what we do.
Yeah.
And so I have a more than full time job.
Yeah.
But I'm also at the church all the time and I help wherever's needed.
I love that, man. And obviously, and you're an amazing father and husband as well. I've had the privilege to learn a lot from you in both of those areas, man. So I'm so glad you're here. Now, Mr. Rolando, I'm a white guy, so I can't say it with Robert's accent, right? Right. I got to get the tongue roll. But no, man. So what is it that you do, man?
What is it you do?
Well, first of all, just grabbing onto what you said, like I want them to treat me just the way like I want to be treated a certain way. And you mentioned the family, and that's the model, bro. and the model of the family is the model for our society. It's mm-hmm. mom and dad and the family, but it's Christ leading that, right?
Yeah.
But so I started my walk with Christ when I was 13 years old. My father went to prison, and I remember mom taking us to church for the first time, like really serious, you know, being intentional with it, because she understood that probably we're all becoming teenagers, and how is she going to do this by herself? So she doesn't take me to a Pentecostal church. She doesn't take me to a radical church because I'm super radical.
Yeah.
You're gonna meet. I haven't introduced myself yet, but
that's
in a little
okay.
bit. but it was a Baptist church in Olmito, and I remember, you know, we would give. Like, say it this way: we would get hell to the youth pastors or the people that were taking care of us on Sunday morning.
Uh-huh.
But I remember the lady being so patient with me, and I was a troublemaker.
Yeah.
And I remember one day it just hit me, and I made a decision. I started seeing a change, and I remember this hunger started growing. So I accept Christ at 13, but at age 15, reading the scripture, nobody prayed for me in that church. I was reading the scripture, and I read Acts chapter 2, and it talked about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I got baptized by myself, and I met the Holy Spirit for the first time, the third person of Christ, of God. And I remember my journey started at 15. And at 18, I started my first business.
Mm-hmm.
At age 21, sold my first business, bought my first house, $134,000. And then I really got deep into network marketing.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm this preacher. I got this gift of preaching the gospel, but also got this gift of being a king. So I'm a king and a priest.
Yeah.
The Bible says we're called to do both. And I liked it. I like the money part, the excellence. And you notice how I say, I didn't say love the money part, I said like, because I believe that in the journey, you'll hear a little bit of my story, but I became a millionaire at a very young age.
Sure.
And 2017, I let go about $7 million worth of real estate.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went through this journey in my marriage for 4 years, from 2017 to 4 years into the future, and really just finding yourself again. Because you can be a leader at a high level and you can lose track
yeah.
of what God has called you to do.
Sure.
Entonces, so today we run something called Manifest.
Mm-hmm.
I asked the Lord one day, like, what do I call this? Because it was almost like unlocking people at a very deep level.
Yeah.
And the world, sometimes you're in the system and you think you got 100 years to do it, and you don't.
Yeah.
You don't have 100 years to do it.
That's true.
So I said, Lord, people... like get unlocked right before us. So what happens? The Lord tells me and says, well, they're manifesting. Not a demon. They're manifesting who they really are by their character being challenged or tested.
Right.
Because attitude and character are two totally different things. So your character gets challenged or comes out when it gets challenged. So what can we do to challenge somebody's character? Put them to speak. It's the second biggest phobia in the world. It's called glossophobia.
Sure.
So I'm using that key to unlock the real person.
This powerful thing.
So it's more powerful that I can actually feel your countenance changing because it's actually drawing you.
Yeah.
So I don't. Do you want me to go in already or not?
Yes.
So I started something called Manifest. I'm sorry. I was going to dissect exactly what your gift is. But anyways, I called it Manifest, and I told the Lord, "Well, back it up with the scripture because they're going to think I'm crazy." So Romans 8:19 says that creation awaited with expectation to see the manifestation of the sons of God. Which means this, that all creation, animals, plants, trees, all know the purpose why we were created for but us. So the Lord says, call it manifest. But the world has turned it into a mystical word. Even the Christian world sees manifest. Not me, that's it. No, it's our word, but we didn't run in it. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So... in a nutshell, somebody praise God.
That's awesome, and I've heard Robert's testimony of his experience. You know, growing alongside you, man, and that's just a powerful thing. You know, and I'm glad you're here as well. You know, and so you know we're gonna open things up, man. I had this vision. Pretty late last night. I had a whole thing that we were going to cover, and then it changed immediately last night. And it was great because. You know, Robert and I started this thing not too long ago, and we've just kind of like been piecemealing it together for the last couple of weeks. Just like these are new, right? These are new. This is like today's the first day we're using them, right? Which is exciting. You guys are breaking them in. But it just hit me last night. You know, I said, all right, you know, we Robert and I are kind of doing this thing, and we put a little bit of money into it, just a couple hundred bucks, and you know, we have YouTube and we have Instagram, but we haven't really taken it seriously. And one of my friends, she actually was on our previous episode, her name is Meg Ellis, she said, well, hey, if you're going to do this, here's all the resources you need, just do it, right? And I've just been teetering on it. It's like, oh, man, it's a lot of work. But I was like all night just setting everything up, you know, and I just heard walk in faith, but you know, faith that works is dead, right? Just those two things repeated in my head. And I know that's the cliche, right? But it's, you know, like biblical cliche, but it's powerful though. And it's really relevant. And that just hit me all night long, is saying, all right, I'm going to do this, you know? And I was texting Robert till like 3 a.m. saying, hey, what do you think about this? What do you think about this? And it was great, you know, that being our topic of conversation, right? So I want to open this up, man. We have, you know, two incredible men. I mean, we're all men of God, right? But we have two really incredible men of God here, and I'm just really excited for what you guys, you know, feel about those things. And my friend, you know, remind me your name one more time.
Sebastian,
that's right, man. And I love the book you've got here, man. I'd love to hear, you know, kind of where you're at, man. I, from what I hear, you're a young pastor, and you're growing in the church, man. What are you working on right now?
Well, pastor, that's a new title that my dad just gave me.
Yeah, amen. Come on.
I gave my life to Jesus at 15 after that 4-year process of running away from the Lord.
Yeah.
And I'm 18 now. I've been walking the Lord, I don't know how many years, like, what is it, 4 years? 3 years? And right now where I'm at with the Lord is trying to follow with Jesus more and more.
Yeah.
Which is something that I miss, like, the whole point of the first 2 years of me being a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
I guess a lot of the times, We think, I was telling Robert last time, we think that this walk with the Lord is just so us trying to prove ourselves to the Lord, and I've done that for 2 years. You know, I would beg for forgiveness. I would beg to try to be better. I'm like, Lord, I'm going to be better for you. And the next day I would fall into sin. The next day I would just do everything. It's like what Paul says, that, you know, I do the things I don't want to do.
Yeah.
And it's like, what can I even do? And it started in the journey where I stopped looking at myself,
mm-hmm.
and I started looking at the cross.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's such a thing that we miss as Christians, and that's where the Lord has me right now, looking at the blood and the body of Jesus.
Yeah.
It was that moment, like, I was reading the scriptures, and I started seeing the way that he thought of me, the way that he loved me, and the way that the gospel isn't about me. It's about, you know, it's that this is love, that God sent his only son, you know?
Yeah.
And that's where I'm at right now, where I'm trying to not put my eyes upon myself, and I'm trying to just walk.
Mm-hmm.
Gently, I'm not trying to rush things. I just finished actually reading a book called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry.
Uh-huh.
The whole
and who wrote that?
John Mark Comer.
Okay.
The whole
excellent book.
Yeah.
I just finished it right now. The whole book is basically about, can we live a life like Jesus, not being in a rush,
uh-huh.
not being in a hurry, but just being at this pace that God has us at.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I feel like I am the Lord right now.
Yeah.
I don't know what this next few years of my life are going to look like. I don't even know how the end of this year is going to look like. But I just want to be more in love with Jesus, which is a struggle at sometimes.
Sure.
There's some months where I don't even want to get around that. I've been there, and we're preaching, we're traveling, and I'm like, man, God, you're going to have to drag me out.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm just excited for the journey.
Yeah.
I meet a lot of people. I mean, this is, Robert's been one of the biggest blessings to my family's
mm-hmm.
life, not just.
Mine too. Yeah.
He bought me a huge pack of Celsius.
So oh, yeah.
Like, oh, my God.
That'll help you get out of that, right?
No.
We're going to get hyped on Jesus,
you know,
man. Come on.
No, we were talking. And he's like, oh, I brought you Celsius. And you know exactly what you need. And I was like, wow. It was like the greatest thing in my life. I took it home, put it in my mini fridge. I was like, this
yeah.
I'm like, I love this dude already.
That's
but,
great,
yeah,
man.
That's where I'm at right now. I want to love Jesus. And I want people to fall in with Jesus.
Yeah.
I think that's what the church needs. Just
mm-hmm.
people who are radically in love with God and
yeah.
who want to just throw themselves out in the middle of the street telling everyone,
yeah.
you got to just follow Jesus.
Yeah, and that's not a passion you can fake, man. That really comes from inside. And I love that, man. And transition to talking about passion, right? There's one thing to be passionate and preach and yell and scream the name of Jesus, but there's nothing to sing it, right? There's a whole other thing to sing it, man. So... and we want to move that your way real quick. Let's talk about that, bro. So from Robert tells us, man, you're getting ready to record some music in a really unique way. What do you got going on?
Yeah, so I was in the world, right? I became a Christian 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It was hard singing before because you need to please a big crowd. Now you only have to please.
Wow, that's awesome, dude.
Yeah, true.
So, God has been opening many doors.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I'm currently like a manager
mm-hmm.
of the of these famous ministries
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
that are singing worldwide. But I think God is preparing me so that I can manage my own career.
Right.
Yeah, my own ministry.
Yeah.
So I think I took long to. I took super long to walk in my calling,
uh-huh.
so I think God is just like accelerating everything in
wow.
such a
yeah.
quick way,
yeah.
which it's amazing. I'm working with these ministries that many people dream to work
yeah.
with, and it's just God. It's I'm going to Puerto Rico on Thursday,
yeah.
and I'm going to be with all of these people.
Wow.
So I'm excited.
Yeah,
I'm excited for you, man. Well, like Sebastian said, it's not on your time, right? It's on God's time. For you, He's accelerating it, right? Which is great, you know. That's awesome, man. And Robert, you and I have talked about this like crazy. It's, you know, it's what you speak out there, what comes in here, what's all in here, and it just comes out of you when God's ready to do it, you know. And you got to move the mic back. But, you know, I think just jumping into our topic, Robert, you know, and I think you'd be a great person to start talking about this. You know, why do you feel like, man, some people, they can walk in faith, but they don't work? Or maybe they work, but they don't walk in faith. Why do you think that is?
The reason why they don't work in faith is because we live in a society that trains you and programs you that you have to see it before you can believe it.
Come on.
That's good right there.
When in reality, what it is, self-development?
Yeah.
No, you got to envision it here.
Mm.
And those visions are the visions that God gives you, because if it wasn't meant for you, why would He give it to you?
Right.
And when you see it and envision it, what happens is you start to work for it.
Right.
And so what happens is when you have no faith,
uh-huh.
you're walking in the world.
Yeah.
You're never going to find fulfillment.
Right.
And you're going to seek it in so many things,
yeah.
things,
yeah.
but never be happy, never be full.
Mm.
And this world will train you to kill you.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't want you to save souls.
Mm.
Where with faith, you're going to save souls.
Right.
And that's the difference between working with faith versus just working.
Yeah.
You're going to get tired of just working. But when you work in faith and you have purpose,
mm.
yeah, you can't be stopped.
Yeah, that's right.
You can't
yeah.
be stopped.
And Seth, when you started down your journey of opening up your own firm, man, talk about the faith you had to have going down that road, brother. Talk about that.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was one of those leap off the cliff moments. But, you know, I've been a marketplace pastor for a long time, so I've run in these parallel lanes of working full-time and doing ministry full-time.
Wow.
And really, if you're a believer, that's everybody's call. You're
yeah.
called to
yes.
work full-time and be a minister. Like,
dang,
you don't leave your Christian life on the shelf when you go to work.
Right.
You should be a minister wherever you're working at. If you're working at HEB or wherever you're at,
wow.
you should. You don't take time out with your Christian walk, right? You're a minister the whole time.
Dang.
But I'd been praying about it for a long time and talked to my wife about it. And it was something that we had always thought about, but it was never time. So I think it was Abraham or Moses where he tells God, he says, God, if you're not gonna go with me, don't send me.
Yeah.
Like Moses. just don't send me, because if you're not gonna go with me, I don't wanna go.
Yeah.
And that was our prayer. Like you tell us when, and when it's time, we'll go.
Yeah.
And so we felt like we heard from the Lord that it was time. And so we did it, and it was wildly scary stepping away from. I mean, we had a successful book of business, and
yeah.
paychecks were coming in, and everybody was happy, and things were fine. And so then now, you know, there's a lot of uncertainty and
sure.
unknown, but we felt like we heard, and so it's like, okay, well, you say go, we go, and it has been the biggest blessing.
Yeah.
Amen. And I've talked to people and we've in discussions, it's like, why didn't you do it earlier? Why did this 5 years ago, 10 years ago?
Yeah.
Like, because it wasn't
yeah.
time.
Yeah.
It wasn't time. And I feel like a lot of people get in trouble when they try to force things on their own.
Come on.
When the Lord is opening I mean, imagine the Israelites, if they're like, we're just going to go walk in the sea.
This guy's pop.
Right? I mean, you got to wait until the Lord opens the sea. And when he opens the sea, you can walk right through.
Right.
But you have to wait.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's like when you wait on the Lord, and that I think that's part of waiting on the Lord, right?
Yeah.
You're not trying to force it. You wait for the Lord to open those doors.
Yes.
When you wait on him, the door opens and you walk through. It's so nice. It's wonder. It's great, right? But we mess up when we don't wait.
Yeah.
Or it's like, oh, we gotta do it, we gotta go, we gotta So anyway, it's been fantastic. It's been phenomenal.
That's powerful, man, and I think that's a great insight. And Rolando, I think you can almost relate to that, man. You've built businesses, you've had success.
Hey. I needed now I'm meeting you, man. Nice to meet you, man. The other guys, who are these guys? Hey, that's the guy I wanted to meet. You're powerful, bro. Wow.
Yeah, and so Rolando, man, piggybacking off of that, man. Again, you've built businesses, you've sold businesses, you've had ups and downs, man. Have you felt that before, you embraced this manifest as part of your life? Now, do you feel like you were trying to rush, Lord? Where do you think that's
because,
coming?
Because obviously you need money to push the kingdom.
Yeah.
But there's different levels of money. So this is where I was wrapped up in it, and I feel that I felt. Because everybody deserves to be a king. The Bible says he's called us to be kings and priests. So some people are excellent priests, but they're horrible kings, man.
Yeah.
And some people are excellent kings, but they're horrible priests. So you need to bring those two things into balance. And there were seasons in my life where I did more on the money side than the king side, than the priest side. And then there was areas of my life, seasons of my life, where I did more on the priest side than the king side. So I believe where I failed, and I'm going to tell you guys, anytime you're going to step into something deeper, you're going to have to die to things. And there's things that you're not going to be able to recognize on people. That's why if you're going to be in the area of purpose, which has to do with people, you have to understand that you first have to die to stuff so you can be able to recognize. For example, the love of money. The Bible says the love of money is a root. What is a root? A root is something that's deep. And like you can cut the top off, and every now and then it comes back.
Grows back, yeah.
Why does he call it a root? Like, I'm deep in this because I had to unroot some stuff out.
I love things when I was supposed to like things. And when you love things, you don't let go. So there's things in your life, houses, cars, but it's not just that. It's personal. It's the emotional, the psychological, the people that you're running with, the people that hurt you. There's so many things, guys, that come into that we have to let go of life, because how do you want God to do a new thing that if you're grabbing onto old things, so you're full of old things that at one time were good.
Right.
In fact, let me correct it. At one time they were great. But you outgrew it, so it just became good, but you stayed in it. So how do you unroot it? So first thing, like I'm a sneaker guy.
Okay, that's great.
So there's a scripture. There's a scripture that says that when the prodigal son came back, the father did three things over his life. He gave him a new dress. He gave him the ring. And I'll touch on those two things, which is the covering, the authority. And I can go deep on another occasion. But the last thing he did is he put shoes on him, because he was enslaved, and slaves don't wear shoes. But shoes here in the spirit means direction. So how did I fall out of love out of shoes? I give them away all the time. I love the shoes. Okay. I buy it. I hold on to it, and then my wife's like, "What are you gonna do?" I'm like, boom, I go give it to this young man, and I mark him. I'm like, "Bro, you don't forget what happened this weekend. Don't forget what God did. All because I spent 3 days with these kids.
Yeah,
and I have 3 days to wash them in the spirit, wash them psychologically." Emotionally unroot stuff, you know, and then I give him the shoes, and I seal it. So maybe he'll go astray one day, but he'll come back every time he sees those shoes. He's gonna remember me, like I remember that guy.
Yeah.
So, anyways, I got rid of the love of it by letting it go. So I believe for you to step into the realm of money, first of all, you gotta understand that it's gotta be money with purpose. Because once you have it, and if you don't have a reason why, like something bigger than a house and a car, because all that is a byproduct. But if all your faith is in that, and then that becomes your identity, the moment you get it, you lose. So it's got to be with purpose. Yesterday, I asked his son-in-law. He says, because maybe in a year, because through this opportunity that you guys are building, or that we're building together,
yeah.
He says, I give myself a year. He says, is it hard to let go? He says, know if I'm going to be of impact wherever I go. Watch what he says.
Yeah.
Dude, that's deep.
Yeah.
Because the guy's committed to whatever feels his purpose is right now, which is being a coach.
Yeah.
So Mammon is the last spirit you must conquer before you go into the realm of the supernatural. And it's stuck on you because you're we're transactional. We use it every day. So look, for example, give me a dollar. Anybody got a dollar on it?
I got $100.
No, I need a dollar.
I don't have a cent.
I need a dollar. Robert carries a photo of it. Dang. Well, if you find me a dollar, there it is. So look, I want to teach you something about money.
Is there a camera?
I can teach. Look, you become an authority on a subject when you walk in.
Yeah.
For example, you can talk this level because you're an authority in it. You know how to manage your time. And I can see, as soon as you came out, the real you, I'm like, okay, this guy, he's got a whole system going on to be able to manage himself and carry himself the way he does. Because you're the language you're speaking is you're in two worlds and you learn to balance both of them.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, I've never heard anybody speak like that. That's amazing. You need to speak that to this new generation. And that's what this ministry is about.
Yeah.
It's a platform to give. I need the equippers. They're not there. So let me go back to your answer. So look, why would they put a pyramid on this? So, but not only is it a pyramid, but it's separated. Let me teach you what that means. That means that your conscious is separated.
Mm.
That means there's people that are chasing the money and they're not conscious of it and they're willing to do whatever it takes to get it. They're not conscious that they're in the system.
Yeah.
But how do you get out of that? You get out of that by understanding that this paper, it has value because it represents the most powerful asset in the world, which is your time.
Yeah.
And then your time, that's why it's worth something. So when you tithe and you offer and we believe in tithing, God doesn't honor it because it's paper. God honors it because it represents my time.
Mm.
So this is really your time.
Wow.
And it has value because that's the only asset, that's the most powerful asset on earth. Yeah. You can never get it back.
Well, right.
So how do I get rid of this? I get rid of this and I go to Deuteronomy where the Bible says that these blessings are going to catch up to, they're going to chase me and overtake me. So there's a big difference between you working for money and letting money work for you. Somebody praise God.
Come on, amen.
Amen. So how do you go into that realm? You go into that realm first, you got to, I'm sorry to say, you got to unyoke yourself from stuff.
Yeah.
You got to unyoke yourself from the material stuff. Because if you can't let it go, man, it's going to consume you and you're going to do it for the wrong reasons. Now, are you pure in heart? Understand? Yeah, you deserve the car. Yes. But it's not yours. You're a steward of it.
Yeah.
He's giving you the capacity to build it. And through the time and everything, he's honoring you. But it's not yours. You're administering it. But you need it for the business.
Yeah.
And that's not bad. The bad thing is when it consumes you.
Yeah.
And you can't live without it. So I go from being a millionaire to living at a campsite where we do our retreats for a year. Like, this is 3 years in the making from when we got back up. And it was hard, guys. It was hard, but I learned something. I got rid of mammon. So mammon brings something, and I'll end that part with this. It's called the more spirit. It's M-O-R-E, more. Mas. I want more. I want more. No, I want more. I want more. So there is a level of that you have to guard. Because when is it enough? Because my season changed, guys, a while back. And I'm going to tell you the truth. Can I be honest with you guys? 3 years ago, I still wanted the Lambo. I'm serious. I wanted it. I wanted the car. There's nothing wrong with it. But the level of my cross has changed. And you guys pay attention to what I'm about to tell you because it's powerful. When it changes your season, your interests change. So what motivated you one day, you can relate to me, right? It's not the same motives you have. So I had the money at one time and to buy all the buses.
Yeah.
And I did it. Because I misused the money.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a lot of it, bro. I was at age 24 making 24,000 residual, bro.
Yeah.
Residual. So I understand it. But it beat me.
Yeah.
So I'm having to ask people for favors. And then he tests you, man. So I need the buses. So now I'm living in the realm of faith, and this is what we're talking about.
Right, right, yeah.
And I don't advise anybody to go into the realm of faith unless God presented you the opportunity, and I'll explain that. You can't just say, hey, I'm going to go on the journey of faith today, and that's it. And God's going to provide for everything. No, it doesn't work like that. He presents an opportunity, and you take it right. If you want it.
Right.
But you don't even know what it looks like, but it's calling you.
Yeah.
And that was you. It's like you took a leap of faith. That's what faith is. So faith, can I go straight into it? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Substance, things, hope. It doesn't exist in the physical yet. It's in your imagination. Bro.
Right.
The evidence of things yet not seen. Oh, somebody, praise God.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not physical, bro. God gave you two gifts. One of them is called free will. It's the most powerful one. You're not a robot. He didn't create you to follow instructions. You're not meant to follow instructions. You're meant to choose whether you want to do it or not. That's called free will.
Right.
That's the power to choose whether you're going to be successful or failure. But then he gave you a second gift, which is connected with faith. You ready for it? Your imagination. Somebody, praise God. Look, this phone was in somebody's mind.
Right.
Now it's tangible.
Yeah.
So Jesus says in the scripture, if you commit adultery in your mind, it's like if you did it. Why does he say that? If you kill in your mind, it's like if you did it.
Right.
Why does he say that? Because your mind processes everything. Are you ready?
Yeah.
As real. It's your mind, everything, your thoughts are a reality, bro. You look like, this morning you woke up, bro, and you said, I'm going to dress like this, and when you went and got your barber, you even put it, not all the way in the hat, but in the side, and I'm going to explain to you why you do that, because it's part of your personality, bro.
Yeah.
It's super awesome, by the way.
Appreciate it. Yeah.
But even the way you cut your hair, and the way you carry yourself, has a lot to do with the essence of God that's inside you. It's not a coincidence that you are the way you are. That somebody created you, something created you. So now, the Bible says is the evidence of things hoped for. So, what does that mean? That means that you look like your thoughts right now, and there's people that are living a reality of 20 years ago. Something happened to them 20 years ago, and they stayed, and that picture was so heavy that it marked them so much that they looked like 20 years ago. Look, their mind, the way they speak, their language.
Yeah.
So what happens? You have the power to create.
Right.
But what happens is when you don't understand your identity, guess who also knows how God created you? Satan.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And God created you in such a way to retain stuff. There's people that got sexually abused. I work with kids every weekend, bro. It's crazy. And the stories are crazy, bro. So these kids walk into a session for 3 days with me. Their parents sign a waiver with me. And they spend 3 days with me in a camp. Check it out. This is, it all has to do with faith. So, as these kids are coming in, some of them, this is a posture. They walk like this, bro. It's not normal. It's not right. So, they're living a reality. So, my job is to find out what is that reality without them saying a single word to me. So, I have to study them. What I'm seeing, because what I'm seeing is not, they're not telling me, I'm seeing it. So those are the gifts. We can talk about that another day. But faith, it's like you don't see it, but you can perceive it in the spirit.
Yeah.
So there's ideas that God is putting in our lives, books, podcasts, names.
Yeah.
But you're afraid to launch them because you don't feel capable of doing it, but you're seeing it in the spirit. So now what's the next? It's something that it's hoped for. What does that mean? Like you desire it. It's something for the future.
Yeah.
But it's invisible, bro. So what do I do to keep myself in this realm? I hang out with the right people.
Yeah.
Like my son. Like people say, like, hey, it's you're blessed to have a son. But you see my daughter, bro. She's just as good. And then you used to see my kids, los chiquitos. Mm-hmm. Tengo cinco, pa.
Oh, man.
So I tell Sebas, we used to do affirmations every morning. Every morning to school.
Yeah.
Affirmations. I'm blessed. Say it with me, guys. I'm not Ariana. You're going to meet her tonight. Ariana. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm a state cross country champion, and they were not even running cross country, bro. Like they were not, like I was already declaring it. And then people would see that the what he carries today, and people, one day a lady told me, your son is more anointing than you. Like me la estaba tirando, and I'm like, praise God.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That was the most amazing thing you could have told me, but she was saying it for the wrong reasons. Because what he is today, I saw it in the future. And by faith, sometimes it was hard to do affirmations when you're going through hard stuff. But it was every single day because I knew exactly what they needed to become. That was my faith. I saw it today. I'm living what I saw. That's faith. You see it in the realm of the spirit. So, am I going too deep?
Yeah, a little bit. We gotta keep going. Powerful testimony.
I'm loving this. We gotta keep going.
Yeah.
We go for another hour.
Yeah, no, we could, but we don't have the phone space. No. You're good. No, that's a powerful testimony, man. And I love the passion. I love when Christ comes at you, man. I'm excited to see that later tonight. We're gonna kind of tie everything together, and I'm gonna pass it to Seth. And Seth, man, obviously on this new journey now. It's been how long has it been now? It's been
a year yet.
So yeah, we're right at about a year and a half.
Right about a year.
So you're about a year and a half. You've been tested, haven't you?
Yes.
You've been tested, and Seth, man, why don't you just share with everybody, man? Tested in business, tested in faith, tested in relationships with Allison, with the kids. Man, talk about that test and the testimony from that, man. As we
get... Absolutely. So yeah, anytime you do anything worthwhile, you're gonna get tested.
Yeah.
And when the Lord asks you to do something and you follow through, there's going to be adversity. Yeah. I mean, there's a real enemy.
Yeah.
He's out to get you. He's out to thwart everything that the Lord's doing, every good thing in your life. I mean, the Bible says he's here to steal, kill, and destroy.
Yep.
So he's coming for you. So you're going to get tested. So to kind of tack on to what Melinda was saying, I don't advise anybody to jump on this journey of faith without invitation from the Lord.
Yes.
Which is kind of like what I was talking about. Like, we mess it up when we do it on our own.
Yeah.
But the Bible says that faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. And you were talking about the evidence of things unseen, the proof of things you can't even see.
Yeah.
Well, the evidence is God's word. Like, if he tells you, hey, I want you to do this and this is going to happen.
Yeah.
Like, if you've walked with the Lord, you know every time he says something, it's true.
Yeah.
And so you hold on to that.
Jesus.
And when you get tested and it's difficult and, there's doubts or I don't know about this or you don't know where to go, or you hold on to what you heard. Hold on to what you heard. Yeah. And that's what gives you the fuel. If you try to rely on your own strength or your own whatever, you're going to get weak and you're going to fail.
Yeah.
But if you hold on to what you heard, keep going where he told you to go, you get to the other side.
That's awesome, man. And Seth, that's a powerful way to wrap things up, man. I think that's great. So walk in faith, put the work behind it, but do it on God's time, not yours, right? And when things get tough, just remember what you heard and what you read, because those are the spoken words of God and they're true. And so, guys, we're going to close things out, man. And I'm just so grateful, man. Listen, it's a huge, huge blessing. It's so grateful to God that for all you guys able to join us today, man. I know that you came up from the valley. Seth, you came from the southeast side of town, which is like coming up from the valley, right? and in fact, I'm the only one that's not from Brownsville here, right? So, I appreciate everyone getting together, man. I think that the people listening today have got a powerful message, and I know it's going to speak to somebody and it's going to put them on the right path. It's going to be captivating. So hey guys, we're closing out Unleash Your Potential, Unleash Your Faith today. We're definitely going to get back together for a part two because there's just so much here that we have. Probably a part two. Yeah. Yeah. We need 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. Right. But hey guys, listen, if you want to get in touch with Seth or with Rolando and his family, we're going to put in the show notes and in the descriptions on Instagram and YouTube, we're going to put their contact info. We're going to put their social media platforms so you can get in touch and just get deeper connected with them, guys. So, hey, thank you for plugging into Unleash Your Potential. I'm John Mercado, co-host Robert Avedia, and we're out.